Today specifically, we want to look at the fact that God multiplies his word. Okay, so multiplication, if you're wondering, well, what does that mean? Multiplication is simply the process of adding a number to itself a certain number of times. And so multiplication has to be at least double the original number, or you're simply adding numbers. Does that make sense? So if you go 5 plus 3, you've got 8. That's not multiplication. But if you get to 10, you've now multiplied it by 2. So multiplication simply means that things happen quicker and you have more of whatever it is that needs to be multiplied in a hurry. Okay? So we're looking at this, and I have mentioned that to you guys, hey, God's going to multiply. What is it that you need multiplied? What is it that you need in your life to be multiplied? Because God is the creator, and he's a multiplier, and he wants to multiply you. So this is not only to do with physical things. This can be spiritual. This could be relationship-wise. This could be something in your life that you want him to work on and increase and have it happen in a hurry. That is multiplication. All right, so God is the creator, I said, of multiplying, and we looked at that in one of our original messages, the fact that God created everything to multiply on its own. Plants multiply, animals multiply, and one such example would be the ocean sunfish, and it multiplies more than any other animal they've ever studied. It lays 300 million eggs at a time. Yeah, 300 million. And that, my friend, is multiplying. You see, God is a multiplier, and I believe God wants to multiply his word. Now, why does that matter? We got to look at God's word first. What is it about God's word that we should know that really is important? Because if I just say he wants to multiply his word, maybe you're like, I don't even like reading. You're missing the point, right? Or why would he want to multiply it? So here's three things I think we need to know about his word first. And the first thing is God's word is powerful. You see, God's word creates, it brings life, it brings healing, freedom, direction, and protection. Now, obviously, if I go into what God's word is, that could be a whole series itself. You know what? It probably will be in the future here this year. But let me just keep it simple today because I want to get into a little bit of why he wants to multiply it. So God's word is powerful. Let me give you three verses that show how powerful his word is. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Okay, so right off the bat, the word is not just letters on a page. The word is not just something vocal that you hear. According to this scripture, the word is actually somebody. And of course, you go further in the chapter and it says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The living word is Jesus. That living word created everything. So the word is powerful. Let me give you another scripture. Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors many times and in many ways through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He is the one through whom God created the universe, the one who God has chosen to possess all things at the end. He reflects the brightness of God's glory and is the exact likeness of God's own being, sustaining the universe with his powerful word. After achieving forgiveness of the sins of all human beings, he sat down in heaven at the right side of God, the supreme power. All right, the part I wanted to bring out clearly is the word created the entire universe, everything we see, and the word sustains it or keeps it going the way it goes. My friend, the word is powerful. Ever wondered why do things keep spinning? Why does this all work? The very word that created it also sustains it. That's a powerful word. And that word, of course, we know is Jesus. But there's one more thing about this powerful word. Revelation 19 and verse 11 It says, then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. His rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest pure white linen, followed him on white horses. You see, the very word that created the entire universe, the very word that sustains and causes it to continue, is the same word that will come back and rule it all. You see, in Revelation, John was seeing this picture of Jesus returning. And if you go a little farther down, it says a sword came out of his mouth. What is that? That's the word. If I can help you to understand this morning the power in God's word, it will change your life. Why would we want his word to multiply? Because his word is the most powerful thing in the universe. It holds it together. It created it. And one day he will return to rule it. You see, Jesus truly is the beginning and the end. And he is the living word. And we're going to get into that a little bit more, but why is his word powerful? Because it is actually living. So when the word of God is read, when we pull this Bible up and we read a verse to you, we are reading from God's word. It is a living word, and the very presence of the Lord Jesus is in that word. Does that make sense? So if you're ever like, I don't know, it seems boring, picture in your mind as it goes out, it's the Lord Jesus himself coming. You're hearing and feeling his presence. We'll talk about that more. The other powerful thing about God's word is that it always accomplishes its purpose. Listen to Isaiah 55:10. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. And one more scripture, Luke 1:37 says, the word of God will never fail. This is amazing. If God has spoken something, it will accomplish the thing he sends it to do. Guaranteed. His word will never fail. It will not fall short of what he has sent it to do. So what has God spoken over your life? What has God said to you? His word is sure. His word is true. It won't fall short. It won't fall flat. As a pastor, my words can fall flat. I mean, I've told some pastor jokes and you guys didn't even laugh. It was a but God's word doesn't do that. If he says it, it accomplishes what he wants. And guess what? He's not a liar and he doesn't change his mind. Isn't that awesome? He's not a liar, and he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't tell you, I love you today, and next week tell you, I don't love you anymore. Maybe you've been in a relationship that fell apart, and man, the words were like, oh, I'll love you forever and ever, amen. And, you know, 2 weeks later, they dumped you. What? Because people's words, well, they fall short, but God's words never do. His words are sure. And church, that is a word that I want to see multiplied. And that is a word that God wants to multiply his words to you. What has he said? Speak it again and speak it again and speak it again. What did he say for you? Speak it again and speak it again. What did he say for your kids? Speak it over them again and again and again and again. Let it multiply. One more point about God's word and why it is so powerful, and it's this: the word of God has no end. Matthew 24:35 says it like this: heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is amazing to me. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. God's words are eternal. This is amazing. Sometimes we'll say things and maybe we're in a grouchy mood and we say it. We just forget about it, you know, and Guys forget about it in about 10 minutes. Women forget about it in 10 years. No, anyways, so like we'll forget. But God's words have no end. They just have no end. They are eternal. There's no time stamp or expiry date on his word. If something he said pleases him 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, it still pleases him today. If he said something makes him unhappy or displeases him, it still displeases him today. He doesn't change. No time stamp, no expiry date. But God's word never, never, never expires. If he said it, you can bank on it. You can trust him. He is not a liar and his word has no end. So my friend, that is why I believe we need to see God's word multiply, and that is why he desires it to multiply. And here are three ways that God can multiply his word. And I'm going to say it now. He can multiply his word to you and through you. Okay? Because God's word kind of doesn't just sit in a vessel and end either. So if he's giving word to you, it's because he wants it to go through you as well. Okay, so let me just give you that right off the bat. So God multiplies his word, first of all, one way, through dreams and visions. And if you're going to talk about dreamers in the Bible, of course, you're going to think about Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer. He was a young guy that had dreams and had a lot of wisdom eventually. But I'm going to say not so much wisdom at first. But anyhow, he has a dream in Genesis 37, verse 6, and he tells his brother the dream. He says, listen to this dream. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain, and suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. Of course, his brothers get upset. I mean, you don't have to be really smart at interpreting dreams to catch what that means. And they're like, oh, sure, so you think we're all going to bow down to you. He was the youngest brother. And it says in scripture that he was kind of daddy's favorite. Dads and moms don't have favorites. It causes a lot of problems. But that's what it says. And so here he is now telling him, yeah, my bundle just stood up like this and your bundles were all around me and they just bowed down. That's what I mean. He wasn't too wise at first. What did he think they were going to do? Be like, oh, that's awesome. Let's start now. What older brother is going to do that? Come on. So it wasn't good, but he has a second dream, Joseph. And that's also in chapter 37, but verse 9. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I've had another dream, he said. The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed low before me. Now, again, you don't need to be really smart at interpreting. And they're like, are you for real? And even his dad is like, myself and your mom and your brother, they're all going to bow before you? And so the brothers don't like it too much, and I think Joseph probably didn't even understand it himself. And so he's sharing it, but he knew somehow that this was a dream from God. I believe God wants to speak to his people in dreams, which allows his word to be poured out and multiplied. So let me give you a couple things about dreams that God would give to you. First of all, if he's giving you the kind of dream like Joseph had and you're young, you probably shouldn't share it with everybody right away. You know, pray about it, keep it, and say, okay, God, work it out. Not everybody's going to be excited for you, especially if you're saying they're going to bow to you. I mean, that's pretty crazy. Okay, so that's one of the things. Know when it's wise to share and not. Second thing is this, how do you know if it's a dream from God? Like, everybody has dreams, right? Eat too much pizza, you're going to have a pizza dream. Work extremely hard or have a frustrating day, and you're probably going to have a work hard, frustrating dream. That's scriptural, by the way. Dreams can come from a multitude of work. So how do you know if this is just a crazy dream or if this is a God dream? I'm going to give you a hint. If it's a God dream, he's trying to give you his word through a dream. What did we say about his word? His word is a living word, and it's actually Jesus. So if he's giving you word, what are you going to feel? You're going to feel his presence in it. You're going to feel his peace. You're going to feel his love. No matter how scary or how big or whatever it is, you're still going to feel his underlying presence in the dream. So that is a way to know, is this God or is it not? If you're having a dream and it feels creepy, it's not God. If you're having a dream and it's just straight out fearful, it's not God warning you. You see, God, when he gives you his word, whether it's a dream, vision, however he gives it, you will know it's him because it's living and you'll sense his presence on it. Everybody good with that? Okay, so God wants to speak through dreams. He wants to speak through visions. And there's a vision in Acts chapter 16, verse 9. And just a little back story so you know where we're at. They had been praying about where should they go to do ministry and who should they go to next. And the door had actually been shut a couple times, but now Paul has a vision. And verse 9, that night Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. So they've been praying. Obviously, it's at night, but Paul is still awake. And while he's praying, he suddenly sees a picture in front of him of a man begging them, come over here and help us. Man, that's some clear direction from God. And he knows immediately that's what they are to do, and so they do it. I believe that God is always wanting to speak, and sometimes we're not hearing because of everything that we fill around ourselves, and we're not tuning in, if you will. So it's like this. I believe that God is always speaking, kind of like if you go to your radio, you can punch in a different radio station. They were playing even if you weren't listening, weren't they? But if you're tuned in over here instead of there, you're not going to even hear anything they had on that station, would you? So I believe God is always speaking and wanting to speak, but are you tuned in? Are your ears open? Are you saying, Lord, I need to hear? Or are you filling your space and time with everything else? I mean, there's some amazing stuff we have out now online and so many good things you can learn and understand, but man, if you're scrolling social media nonstop, you don't have time to hear from God. You got to make space and time to hear. Okay, so make space, make time, and hear from him. Because I believe he always is speaking. And God, of course, can multiply his word in those simple ways, but he can also multiply his word simply through the Holy Spirit. Now, yes, Holy Spirit is involved in dreams and visions as well, but I want to specifically look at Holy Spirit in the sense of how he may speak through the still small voice. And I want to read this verse, John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you things that are to come. Declare. He'll speak them to you. And the Holy Spirit wants to speak to his people, giving direction as you pray, the still small voice. And you need to be able and willing to hear. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 is the first time the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the disciples. You see, Jesus gave them a mission, a commission. This is what you need to do. But he said, wait first until you're endued with power from on high. Wait and let the Lord fill you. And this is when it happens in Acts chapter 2. And actually, we'll start at verse 2. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. You see, the Holy Spirit came, and he came dramatically in this first encounter, and I believe it was something that they would never forget, that we would get to hear about and never forget. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to come dramatically. He can come however he chooses. And the symbol of the Holy Spirit is actually a dove, which is very gentle. But in this instant, he came with the sound of a mighty wind and with fire on each head. And they began to speak in other tongues. Now remember, the Holy Spirit was going to come and lead and guide into truth and do what only he could do. And he would speak to them, and he would fill them so that he could speak through them. And this is so key, church. God wants to show you things, tell you things, but he doesn't want it to stop. Scripture says that the Spirit of the Lord will be like a well of living water in your belly flowing out of you. Anybody who likes nature, have you ever seen a spring that's bubbling? Well, what do you know about that spring? It's clean, it's clear, and it keeps coming and it flows out. You want to drink out of that spring if you're out hunting early in the year. You don't go to the pond that's got no in and no out. You and I are not supposed to be a pond that just holds whatever's come in sometime in the past. It rained on you one time 3 years ago and you got this stale old pond. Ouch. No. He wants you to be a living water flowing out. And you see, Holy Spirit can do that and does do that and wants to do it in each of us by pouring in his word so that the word can come through you. So I need to ask, have you allowed his word to come through you? You see, we're going to go in a minute and read the rest of what happened, but Holy Spirit comes on them for a purpose. Have you had Holy Spirit give you something that you can share with someone else to encourage them and to show them things that will change their life? You see, if the enemy has discouraged you and you become quiet, the well's not flowing anymore. If you see someone, you visit with people, and instead of encouraging or saying anything, you just stay silent now, the old enemy has found a way to plug that well. And there's no well anymore. And maybe he's used other people to do it. Maybe he's used circumstance. But I'm going to encourage you, take the cap off that well and let it flow again. Go ahead and speak and allow yourself to have the waters flow. So what about you? What does God want to speak through you? Are you in a place where you're willing to hear? And I want to say this now. Sometimes people think, well, I can't hear unless I'm perfect. Well, first I got to work on all this stuff. God is going to be working on you till the day he takes you home, but he wants to use you while he's working on you. Do you understand that? He wants to use you now. You let him keep working on you. You be willing and obedient. He wants to speak through you to others. He's got good things for you. Not just good things, great things. Are you willing to give out to others? Because you see, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit really wasn't just for the disciples. You see, when they all began to speak in tongues loudly, it wasn't just to make a cool noise. It wasn't just so they could get goosebumps. It was because God wanted to speak through them. Because as they were speaking in tongues, probably not even understanding what they were saying, all the people in the area began to hear this noise and they came together. And in Jerusalem at that time, there was people from every nation, and they began hearing something in their own language. Let me read it to you in verse 8 of chapter 2. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Pergia and Pamphylia, from Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome. I should have just said, you know, from everywhere. But anyhow, that's what the Bible has here. Let's read it. Both Jews, Gentiles converted to Judaism, and some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own language about the great things that God has done. The Holy Spirit has been poured out so that you and I can share with others the great things that God has done. It's called the good news. The good news. The good news of the Lord Jesus. You and I were called to give it out. You see, God multiplies his word, and this is my final point today. God multiplies his word by having people share it. The Holy Spirit wants you and I to share the good news. Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus told them before he was about to be raised up to sit with the Father. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Good news is what God wants us to share. You know, I found something out that I think it is human nature to share bad news. But that's not what we're supposed to share. We're supposed to share good news. So why not get together? And before you get together, think, what can I share that's good? And share good news. It will change lives, and it's what we're called to do. Now, I'm going to share something with you that maybe will help you not be a sharer of bad news. Because I believe this. When you're sharing about evil things that have happened, when you're sharing about this person that passed away and this thing that broke up, you are actually, instead of being someone who shares the good news of God, you're sharing the bad news of somebody else. You are becoming a preacher for the things that the devil does.
Ooh.
What does it say in Scripture? The thief, which is a picture of the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you're spreading news about stealing, killing, and destroying, in whatever form, you've become his preacher. And here's the devil in the background going, yeah, that's awesome. Preach it, bro. If you can remember that when you start going down the trail, maybe you'll stop. Because, man, he doesn't have to say a word. There's so many people speaking for him. Instead, stop yourself. And if other people want to give you negative stuff, be polite, but find something good to share and become a preacher of the good news. And here's the thing. Sharing good news doesn't mean you have to preach in people's face. It just means you share good news. Start with good news. You are changing something in the atmosphere. Why not find something good? And go away from your conversations and your interactions having built people up instead of making them feel worse. Good news. Can you think of something good? And by the way, this is your homework this week. Maybe I got to think of a different word besides homework. Your challenge for the week. I don't know. Here's your challenge for the week. Make a point on purpose when you get with somebody maybe that you haven't visited with for a while that you find some good news to share. Okay, good news that they can relate to. I'm not telling you to go preach in their face. I'm saying good news. Find some good news. For some, if you haven't done that for us, it's going to be tough. You're going to be thinking right now, like, what can I share? Like, is there good news? Think about it. What can I share that's good news? But church, let's share good news. And yes, when you come in a habit of just sharing about good things, there will be opportunities to share about the greatest thing, which is the love of Jesus. But you know, every conversation won't go there right away. People have to be ready for it. But get in a habit of sharing good things, and it'll just naturally go there when it's supposed to go there. Because Jesus really wants his word to be multiplied, and even when there's tough things going on, according to Scripture, his word will be multiplied. And Acts 12:24 says, the word of God increased and multiplied, even when there was persecution. And I want to finish with this verse today, Acts chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. And it's an example of great persecution that didn't stop God's word, but allowed God's word to multiply. And it's talking about right after Stephen was stoned, and Stephen was someone who was filled with the Holy Spirit. He preached about God, and the religious people actually killed him by throwing rocks at him until he died. And it says, Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. It says, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. This is an amazing verse. There is such persecution, you know, not just some governments making rules you don't like. There was people being killed. Do you remember when Jesus said to them, you're going to be endued with power from on high? You know, then you're going to start in Jerusalem and go to the ends of the earth. Guess what? They didn't go anywhere. It was really nice and comfortable right where they were. They're all together, lots of people. Nobody went anywhere, but they're supposed to. And wouldn't you know it, some persecution is what drives them out. But I love how his followers did it. Their attitude. They end up being chased from their homes. This wasn't just going on a trip. They're chased from their homes. They're fleeing for their lives. They get in a new area, and they spread the good news. Think about it. They could have got to the new area, and the first people they met be like, yeah, we're from Jerusalem. The religious people over there are terrible. You know, my friend got killed, and they did it like this, and well, I don't even know if I believe anymore. But they didn't. They went to these new areas. They could have cared less. It actually says in Scripture, some of them rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. So they show up displaced from their homes, horrible things happening, and they got smiles on their faces, and they're like, hey, Joe, I'm your next-door neighbor. I'm a follower of Christ. Like, really, I've heard about them. Tell me more. You see, that's the attitude we need to take. Are we willing to spread good news no matter what the old enemy has chucked at us? And are we willing to say, God is in this, and I'm going to do what he asked? Because you see, the enemy will try to knock you down. He will try to take you out. But if you can keep speaking good news no matter what, he will lose. I remember seeing a boxing match. This was a few years ago, and there was this one tall guy. I don't remember any of their names, so it's not like I'm not telling you. I just don't remember. But anyhow, it was kind of like the big top boxers of the time, and the one guy was known for his right hook. Like, he won most of his fights by knockout because of his right hook. And the other guy was just known for, like, kind of enduring. And okay, but so here they were, the fight's going. The guy with the big right hook, he gets one in there, boom! And the guy literally just, poof, and he hits the ground. He's on the ground. He's out. And you could tell by how he fell that he ain't getting back up. They start to do the countdown, and literally the guy's laying there, and the next thing he just sits up, stands up, and starts fighting again. And he did enough damage that he didn't lose. And I'm thinking, what? And the other guy, because this guy who got back up again, he did say that he was a Christian, you know, different stuff. The other guy later in an interview said, I think Christ raised him from the dead. You know, crazy things, but that picture sticks with me. If the enemy has knocked you down, don't lay there. I mean, he just hit you with finance stuff. Maybe he hit you with relationship stuff. Maybe you just heard some news. They're like, oh, no. And you're like, oh. Be like, God is good. Woo! All the time. You know what I found out? If you can do that, the devil loses. And he's going to eventually realize, man, this is really stupid. Every time I hit them, they go pray for some more people. They go talk to some more people. And they go worship in church like they're ready to dance through the place. You know, when you see people that worship and really worship, you're like, oh, yeah, they haven't been what I've been through. They've probably been through way worse, but they know who their God is, and they refuse to quit. Don't quit. Get back up. Spread the good news, because, church, we have some good news that our world needs. I want to wrap this up. If you're here today and you've never accepted that amazing love of Jesus, you see, the good news that we're really getting to is the good news that Jesus came, hung on a cross, shed his blood, was broken and beaten for you and I, that we could be forgiven and made right with the Father. If you've never had the opportunity to receive that, you simply use words. And it's why here at church we pray a simple prayer that lets you use words if you've never done it. If you've never had that opportunity. When you do that, I have some great news. The Lord Jesus will forgive, and he'll begin a work in your heart, and you will begin a journey of following him. That is amazing. So I'm going to take a minute right now, and I'm going to actually ask you all to join me. I'm not singling people out. So if you'll join me in this prayer to allow him to forgive and to begin something great in your life. Do that with me now. You can close your eyes and repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Give God praise. That is good.